All right, so here we are in the third week of April, so that means we're in Bloomington with Mayor John Hamilton. Thank you very much for having us.
Great to see you again, Joe. Welcome.
So I wanted to start with the big downtown surprise, though not a good one. Last week, a major downtown roadway, 3rd Street, closed due to a routine check that found the road to be unsafe? What happened?
Well, Joe, it was it's not exactly a routine check because 3rd and Lincoln happens to sit over the major conduit that runs stormwater underneath downtown. And it takes Jordan River from the IU campus and carries it underground underneath the city and then comes out at Walnut and First. And either end of that had been repaired 15 years ago or more, but the middle hadn't been. We said, Vic Kelson, I want to give him credit, the utilities department said, hey, we gotta get in there and see what's going on with that. So they sent a person in to do a formal inspection, and he found it was not safe for traffic. So we closed it down within an hour or two and are fixing it.
Wow. So from what it looks like today, I drove by and the paper, the Herald Times had an article as well on the front page. It looks like they're taking the asphalt top part off. You can kind of see the outline.
Yep.
I assume that's where that tunnel is.
That is exactly right.
But they're not touching the tunnel right now. Is that for more long-term fixing?
Yes. So actually, 20 years ago was the last formal inspection of that in 1997. And at that time, the inspector said, it's okay, but it should be fixed within 5 years. And it hadn't been inspected since then. And so I want to again credit the City Utilities Department and Vic Kelson for saying, hey, we got to get in there and see what's going on. And I have to say it was we got an email from the inspector who said, I can't send you my formal report yet, but I just got out and I don't think any vehicle should be on top of that. I don't know how it is holding up all the vehicles. So we feel fortunate that we inspected it soon enough. It should have been fixed a long time ago. But what they're going to do is, you're right, they scrape the roadway off to the roof of that conduit. It's a 16-foot wide conduit. And then they're going to re-roof it. They basically said, we're going to build a little bridge right across that. The walls are strong of the conduit. They're just going to build a bridge on top of it that will be the roadway. And that should work for several years. It should be fine. And in the meantime, we're going to have to do the planning to repair and fix that middle section. So if you remember the Big Dig from the early 2000s, we're going to do Big Dig 2.0, I think, it looks like, in the coming years. I'm it's fortunate that nobody got hurt. We hate for the inconvenience, but of course that safety comes first.
So I guess that leads to, you've hinted to it already, what happens for the rest of that tunnel, not just over the road, but that goes under other buildings downtown and probably
right.
Zigzags until where the Big Dig happened, years ago.
Yes. So the tunnel itself, the conduit, will be repaired and replaced, I expect. We have to do all that planning, and so I shouldn't get ahead of myself, but that's what we'll probably have to do. We're going to try to open up 3rd Street, at least two lanes by the end of this week, by Friday the 21st or so. That's the goal. There will be sections south and north on Lincoln where the conduit runs under that road that we're going to have to work on, but we wanted to get that thoroughfare going first. And then the conduit runs under the park going south. It runs right next to the fire station, and those areas will continue to be inspected, but they don't carry the kind of load that the roads do. So our understanding is all that's okay for the foreseeable future, but this intersection was really a catastrophe waiting to happen, so we're glad it's getting fixed.
So I guess it's kind of wait and see now for Big Dig 2.0, right? I mean, that's going to be a big deal.
It will. The CBU, the Utilities Department, is already talking to people about what that design will mean, and that'll run from basically Grant Street all the way down to Walnut. It's about Washington and 2nd or so, I think, because the bottom piece was done as well. And this middle was just left undone. And thank goodness we found it.
So the timeline now, once again, for your thinking.
So the plan is for 3rd Street to be open, we hope, by the end of this week, the 21st, Friday, assuming weather. We got to pour some concrete, so it depends a little bit on weather. Then probably another couple weeks or so to do the Lincoln work. So that Lincoln's going to stay closed for a little longer. And then hopefully that'll be done, and then there'll be a period of planning and kind of planning the Big Dig 2.0. That'll take many months for sure to get that done.
Monday night, City Plan Commission denied a downtown development. It's the Fifth Third Bank location. It seemed unusual to me to deny a large project downtown. We've seen a lot of them being approved and moving forward. And just reading through the Herald Times, commission members seem split on what defines growth, innovative design, affordable housing. So there was seemed like to be a lot at action there during that meeting. Were you surprised by that vote?
Not really. The staff had recommended against it. So, you know, projects, any developer would tell you, a project, there are 100 ways a project can stop. This is one way. They often stop for lots of other reasons or before they get to a plan commission. And projects, when they stop, doesn't mean they're done for sure, forever. It just means that project didn't pass that hurdle. Again, Joe, in a way, it's kind of catch up because we're still working with the old growth policies plan, which dates back over 15 years now, and they're really supposed to be done every 10 years. Another thing that happened last night at the Plan Commission was they got the new draft introduced to them for the new comprehensive plan, which is the new name for the growth policies plan. And that's going to help us kind of clarify what's wanted. Look, these are big issues. What kind of buildings you get? What's in those buildings? What do they look like? How tall are they? What's the economic viability? I've been clear that I think investment in building and growth is important in the city, including downtown. I think the growth that growth needs to be sensitive to the mix of people, the style of the look. I think it's really important that as buildings happen downtown or anywhere, that they enhance the neighborhood, don't diminish it. So the Plan Commission's got a lot of things to balance, and it's sometimes they have close votes, which they do last night, and then that's how the process works.
I want to get an update too on the city annexation plan. I see you, since we've talked, I believe one area was dropped, the three others were combined into one section. Most of the public forums are complete, although I think there's at least one more in May.
There's one big public hearing in May.
Public hearing in May.
Yes, which is kind of a formal step where the city council sits and receives public input on May 31st.
May 31st at Bloomington
South High School gym. Should be a classic Hoosier event in a gymnasium.
So. Any more changes coming that you can see now?
Well, you know, Joe, it's interesting you point that out. So we've had a number of public information sessions. We're really about halfway through the public period during which this review is to take place. It started formally in the very beginning of February. We expect it to end at the end of June, so it's a five-month period. We're halfway through. I always remind people, if it seems like we've been working on this, we're only halfway through. The decision right now, between now and the end of June, the real decision is, what do we want the boundaries to be? As the administration, as the mayor, I proposed a number of boundaries that I think make sense. But absolutely, they have changed, and I would be surprised if they didn't change some more in the process. That's what it does. This is it's a significant step. We are playing catch-up. We haven't annexed for more than a dozen years at all, while the population's grown and development has happened. So I believe we do need to make a step and decide what our boundaries should be. I'm very pleased we're working hard with all kinds of folks, county officials, private sector, business interests, just regular citizens who care about it, to think about, so what should the boundaries of Bloomington be? That's the discussion. Some people may say, I don't want them to change at all. They should stay the way they are forever. We haven't done that for 190 years, but some people may say that. I think they should evolve to reflect where people are, but there's certainly, there'll be a lot of debate, and the 31st will probably be a long day of people talking about what they think.
Some wonder if the timeline is too aggressive, but the timeline isn't changing from what you know of.
Well, the city council voted a few weeks back to stick to the basic timeline. Again, I remind people that really all that gets decided between now and the end of June, which is when it's lined up, and I think that's appropriate. We have 5 months to do this. All that's decided is, what should the boundaries be? Once we set those and we have plenty of time to look at them and walk them and bike them and drive them and analyze them, then we have 2.5 years to think together as a community with the public sector and others, okay, we've set the boundaries, now let's talk about how we work together going forward. How do the fire departments work together, the street departments, the parks, police, all the public safety. And that's, I think, plenty of time to do what the public wants, which is give us good, efficient government services.
I think that was one item that I remember reading that came up, that some were worried that there wouldn't be enough firemen or there wouldn't be enough policemen once this happened. But that might not be said in the realm of there's 2.5 years to take care of that, right? I mean, this plan isn't to not have enough firemen and policemen.
No, in fact, the opposite, Joe. You know, I want to give credit to the county because during this whole period when the boundaries didn't change at all, a lot of neighborhoods and density developed, and the county government and township fire department stepped up to provide the more intense services you need in a dense environment compared to a rural environment. And they've stepped up, but they're not designed to do that. City fire, city police are designed to cover urbanized areas. Just as an example, the average population density in the city is 3,500 people per square mile. In the county, the average population density is a tenth of that, 350 people per square mile. And city government's designed to serve urban folks. So they will see more police coverage, more fire coverage, more street sweeping and snow plowing and that kind of stuff in the urbanized areas.
Let's move on to Axia, the city's pick for providing broadband service throughout the city. We should hear more, at least their deadline now is this coming Friday, for just seeing what's next,
if there's
a next, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we extended that deadline 3 weeks, so that you're right. We gave them a little more time to do the fiscal analysis that they need to do, and we expect to hear from them formally by the end of the week. So it is coming up shortly. I continue to believe it's very important that we have more investment in digital infrastructure, and I'm excited about the future that way. It's a complicated world. It's interesting to see some of our current providers, I think, are kind of stepping up their game. I don't know if you're watching AT&T and Comcast and Smithville are all saying, we're doing more, we're coming, we're getting faster. So I think the competitive environment is good, and we look forward to this. I think it's important for the future of Bloomington.
You know, as this process has gone forward since around December, November period, what have you learned in the process, and do you think that the city is getting closer to this being reality, or is this just more laying groundwork for the future?
Well, I think we're learning, I think we're getting closer, and I think it's important that we do so. I think we're learning that there are different models. You have the classic incumbent models that want to use what they have. There are new entrants like Axia. Smithville's kind of in between those. They were kind of a new entrant a number of years ago, who see the need for change in the digital infrastructure in the country. And we're figuring out how to do it best. As we've talked about, some cities do it themselves. They build it themselves. Others have investors come in and do it, others partner. And so it's all a very dynamic environment, and we want to find the right partner to serve Bloomington's long-term digital interests.
The Monroe County Bloomington Convention Center talk has been heating up, and I believe what's really kind of moving that forward is that new parking garage here that's right across the street from City Hall, now housing all the vehicles from county employees, which frees up a lot of space at the convention center. So I guess one problem solved, but many more kind of to look at. What's the next step?
Well, as my friend Commissioner Pat Stouffer said, County Commissioner said, there are a lot of steps in this process, and you're right, the county garage getting opened and making way for a lot of those cars to leave around the convention center does open up the possibilities there. I'm very pleased that the county commissioners, Pat and Julie and Amanda, have chosen to go forward with a request for qualifications to look at what can be done. I've talked about for a year and a half now the importance of the downtown convention center expanding, which I think is a huge opportunity. So, exciting times. We have a few weeks. We'll hear back from some people, give us some kind of private sector feedback about that. But, you know, right along the B-line, right downtown, people love being in downtown Bloomington, and having an enhanced, larger convention center can really be an anchor and strength, not only to the business and visitors from outside, but a great asset for everybody in the community, too.
So you mentioned the private developer, which is kind of, I guess, right now the step of getting a feel of anyone that is interested. What would be the concerns, though, of a private developer? I mean, if this is lucrative and they're losing out on, 40 conventions a year,
right,
why aren't hotel partners coming forward, or are they? We just don't know.
Well, there are hotel partners interested. I think one of the decisions we have to make as a community is, do we want a privately owned convention center versus a hotel? A hotel is very likely to be privately owned, but the convention center has been a public trust in a way. It's been a public asset. We've used it for all kinds of good public things, and I think from my own perspective, my assumption is that we would continue that public civic ownership of the convention center itself, but we hope to have a private hotel investor who can join with it. So we'll find out. I think there's a lot of interest. Bloomington, all the data suggests we're the second most attractive convention location in the state behind Indianapolis, but a lot of people just can't get here. We had a call the other day, I know I heard from Talisha Kopic that said, they wanted to come here, we just didn't have room for them. So then they figured out how to split up and do some different things because they just wanted to come to Bloomington. Well, we want to welcome that.
Would there be any consideration, you think, just from what you're hearing in terms of just selling the whole project to a private developer if they were interested?
Well, we'll have to look to see who's interested. My own view is that it is really a civic asset right in the middle of downtown. It's not that different from the Buskirk or most communities tend to look at having a civic engagement, civic involvement with the convention center. Downtown, for example, is a quasi-governmental entity that controls their convention center. And it's a way to make sure that in the long haul, we're building this for 50 years, that we have the community's interest at the front and center of what this is doing.
So it's little five weekend coming up. Is this something that I'm sure police force is ready? Overtime,
well, you know,
I was down the hatches, huh?
I was in a meeting the other day with our department heads, and we did a little exercise, and somebody asked people to describe their mood in one word, and the police chief just held up little 500. that's what his mood is this week. He's focused on that, as all our 100 officers are. You know, it's proclaimed as the world's greatest college weekend. I'm not going to judge on that, but it's certainly a big weekend. And it does pose some challenges, and all the residents need to be patient. We do welcome calls of concern. We want to make sure everybody's safe. That's the main thing. Fun is fine, but please stay safe. So we encourage that, and we'll hope for good weather.
Yeah. Is there anything else?
Well, Joe, I might mention, a lot of your listeners may be interested that Tuesday this week we did a groundbreaking on the new animal shelter, which is an exciting thing for the city. That's been in the works a long time. We have an amazing animal shelter and, of course, a community that cares for them with working with the Humane Association. And this new facility, a couple $1 million of investment there, is going to be a great community asset to help make sure we serve the interests of our four-legged friends and also help them get adopted as quickly as possible. It is significantly increasing space, but I'll note it's really not, it's not increasing the amount of animals that we can keep there, because we don't want to keep animals there for very long. And they've done a great job of both reducing the animal euthanasia rate and also getting adoptions quicker, which is what we really want. It's just going to make a much better facility for the hundreds of volunteers who work out there, for the animals themselves, for the staff. And we think with the Humane Society, it'll help us keep getting better and better at avoiding the need for shelter, reducing euthanasia even further, which has been dramatically lowered, and then getting animals in and out quickly. Because when an animal goes and gets sick because they're around too many other sick animals, it's hard to get them adopted. So this helps keep all the animals healthy, get them in and out as quickly as we can.
And those that are listening, I'll just mention too, we did take a video tour of the current facility, and that really paints the picture of what's needed and why a new building/renovation is needed. So check that out on our website. It's there.
Check it out. It's pretty crowded out there right now, and it's going to be a nice new facility. It will be breaking ground on Tuesday this week, I think.